Yes, it is Friday, and it's 9, and it's UK Cobras time. Yeah, normally, you know, we do it on a Thursday, but a lot went on yesterday, so we had to reschedule to today. But it's not a bad thing, because we have with us, not just Lorne, we have the great and the powerful Mr. Mike Tagry joining us. How are we doing, both?
Good, man. Love to be back on with you guys, man. Hopefully, maybe we're still in a therapy session, or is that what we're kind of doing still? Are we over that?
Yeah, no, I think we're still in the big exhale.
Yep. Yeah, especially with the news, it's time to digest that as well. And then, you know, that opens up a whole can of worms as well as to how we move forward as well. But, you know, especially with it happening so late on in this sort of hiring cycle as well, who'd have thought that the Redskins would be one of the last to actually employ somebody? So,
you did it again.
I do it all the time, so don't worry about it, Lauren.
No, we got a thing where I love to pie when so he'll do like San Diego. Yeah. they all come out. So I love to point out when Lauren does it, and it really aggravates him, as you can see.
Yep.
But how are you doing, Mike? I mean, I know we speak obviously, you know, off the airwaves and when we're both doing different various things, but how you been? I've been noticing you have been quite busy with the show. It's good to see everything plodding along nicely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just having a great time. Like Kelly's popping in, so, you know, hanging out in the Cowboys cave. And you know, we can't get Super Bowl champions with our Cowboys, so we've been bringing them in. At Tony Hill, Super Bowl champion. At James Washington, two-time Super Bowl champion in the 90s. So that's kind of where Cowboys are, right? We gotta get some champions on these shows to make sure we Cowboy fans like my son's age and a little older know that at one point we were a dominating franchise. We were winning Super Bowls. This isn't the way it was. This isn't the norm. We got to get back to the way things used to be. But it's been tough. But I always love coming on with you guys, and I'm making it a point. I'm gonna meet up with you guys next season.
We literally missed each other by like hours last time. I think your plane was coming in just as we were getting on the plane, so we was like passing each other in the air, waving, oh bye. We'll try it. We'll have a couple of those cowboy ritas together. I know you don't drink much certainly at games, but we'll try and get you.
Pre-game. I just I don't like getting up. All right, so I got to focus. Yeah, I'll stand up. I don't want Tuck to get mad at me. I stand up. I just don't like to get up and miss the game.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the video. Paul ended up getting seriously drunk. Not a bad thing. And he was like, "Oh, go get more cabaretas." I was like, "Okay, then." So we went and got more, and it got to a point where his eyes weren't open. He was talking, and he was obviously able to see things, but his eyes weren't open. I think it was just like an extra sensory thing going on.
Yeah, we got to hang out with him at the Seattle game, right? That was next week with Seattle.
That's right, yeah.
I saw you guys, you know, hanging out with Dez Bryant, and I mean, we did it, I think, the week or a couple weeks before, but you guys took it to another level. What a great time. I was just so jealous. So jealous.
I know. You stole my hat, mate.
You didn't get the hat back, huh?
I did, but then somebody else took it. So, and I was just kind of like, I may as well have just left it with Dez.
Oh, man, that sucks. Cool pictures, though, and videos.
Yeah, I mean, we met up with loads. I mean, we had, I don't know if you know them, the Cowboys Cam fan from Canada.
Oh, yeah. No, love those guys, too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're brilliant. They're so funny. So we got them to tag along with a few things with us. You know, it was Tattoo Mark, all of those guys, so all the Cowboys experience. It was a lot of fun. It was great. It was missing you, mate. It was missing you.
I know. Well, we're going to make it. I'm going to be there. I already told, because you guys usually do Thanksgiving. Is that when you guys go, typically?
Yeah. So we won't be going this Thanksgiving, but we might be going. We haven't revealed yet.
Oh, no, Lord. Everybody knows we are.
Because I'll work my trips around it, because I definitely want to come hang out with you guys for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you know, we can go to Texas Live and go hit some barbecue, grab a few beers, and you know, it's for us the Thanksgiving bit, because of like how it works out with the Cowboys. It's really easy, you know, in that way to figure out the logistics and plan. You can plan like a year in advance, and you just, you know, because you can just look on the calendar and go, that's the date. That's when I'll book my hotel. That's when I'll book my tickets. It's really, really easy. So in that sense, it's quite lucky. But we're not going to go this year. Everybody needs to save up on the pennies, and then we'll come out and we'll come and find you. And if not, we'll just come and kidnap you.
and I can vouch for what Kelly said. No one parties, you know, like you guys. And I'm just telling you, even in Germany, we hung out with some, you know, awesome guys, you know, from Germany too. And it was just, ooh, boy,
oh, yeah.
You guys can put them down.
Well, yeah, we'll figure something out for definite, mate, and get you out with us for an entire day and night. But before this turns into the Alcoholics Anonymous podcast, let's move on. So obviously we've had some big news this week, which is we could have left the show or the late show, because we've done one early in the week and we do one later in the week, but we could have left it. But with the news on the big topic of Dan Quinn, we've got to get in here and get talking, get some people in here to hear their opinion. And who better to ask about Dan Quinn and their replacements than the great Mike Tagg? So first of all, guys, and everyone at home as well, what's your initial reactions to the news that Dan Quinn is moving on?
Well, for me, you know, when the game ended, I don't know if I made the mistake, but I thought it went well. I did a live video right after the game, a live with the fans. It was really a therapy session. And In that, I wanted everybody gone, right? I want coach gone. I want coordinators gone. I want the quarterback gone. Everybody's got to go. And then you kind of let things kind of settle in. You start looking. I said, well, you know, McCarthy, I mean, are we better off with him than trying to go find someone else? And obviously Dak Prescott. But I think there's got to be some change. And I think defensively, and that's why I would really love Lauren and get your guys' opinion to make sure I'm not off base. It's just I never thought the defense was as great or as good as it actually was. It seemed like in these big games, we always fell flat. And then doing a little bit more research, I wish I would have known this before the Packer game. But Dan Quinn against his former assistants that was on his staff, you know, you had McDaniel, you have Shanahan, and you got, LaFleur. He's 0-6. And none of the games have really been that competitive. And so I just think there had to have been some sort of change, because I just don't think it was working. And if you continue down the same path, you just kind of, you know, you're going to get the same results. So some part of it had to change. If McCarthy didn't change and Dak didn't change, then the defensive coordinator had to go.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, as you say, we've certainly been better at generating turnovers these last 3 years with Dan Quinn, generating sacks as well. I mean, Mike Nolan's defense was an absolute car crash. Rod Marinelli towards the end of the, you know, that was running its course. It was getting a bit stale, and we just weren't drafting guys that fit his scheme. You know, you were the Tristan Hill pick. You know, supposedly that was a Rod Marinelli pick, because he sat down with a guy at college and all this sort of stuff, and it just never blossomed in the NFL, despite, you know, Rod Marinelli saying that was going to work. You know, and yet it's the same sort of thing. You get to, you know, get into these big games, you lose, you give up lots of rushing yardage to Buffalo, you give it up to the Rams, but, you know, back in the playoffs a couple of years back and everything like that. I think as well, you know, the Cowboys have the problem now that when the playoffs expanded to six teams, you know, the Cowboys were the number one seed and they were the first team, number one seed to lose in the first round. I think that was 2007, 2008 versus versus the Giants. And then you go the number two seed. You're the first time since it expanded to seven teams that, you know, you're the first one to go out as well. You know, and it just, you know, I've had to put up with a hell of a lot of stick these last 2 weeks. but I mean, you know, again, Dan Quinn was a lot better than the previous incarnations we've had for this defense as well.
Yeah, when you think, you know, he came in after taking over from Mike Nolan, and I don't think we ever want to go back to one of those seasons. But we are joined as well by your guy next. He's coming to the building. How are we doing, sir?
What's going on? What's going on, my fellow brethren? How are we doing on this fine February?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Great day over here.
Yeah, I sent a message out, and I sent it both out at the same time, and you both answered and replied to the same. So not only are we graced by the presence of the great Mike Tagg, we've got the great Your Guy Knicks with us as well. So we get twice the pleasure with you guys. But we were just talking, the three of us now, about the Dan Quinn story. Obviously, it's the biggest news. And I was just asking Lorne and Mike about what they felt their initial reactions to the news. And I know you'll have a big opinion on this, Knicks. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? I know, obviously, from what I've seen, you know, you kind of seen it as inevitable. But what's your thoughts and feelings for the purposes of the audience and the show?
Yeah, you know, it's just, it's funny how a little bit of, you know, a month and a half of football can change a lot of things in narratives, right? and how, you know, if you looked at how the beginning of the season, right, was coming into play, and, right, the thought process from a lot of people was, well, you know, if things don't go right, Dan Quinn would probably be elevated, you know, those kind of talks. But things go a little bit different down the stretch. It's not, for me, it's not the Kellen Moore situation where, for me, I was like, look, Kellen Moore ran its course. It was time to move on. Yeah. I don't feel ultimately the same way when it comes to Dan Quinn. Sure, schematically, some things he could have did differently. I do think there's a mixture of some of the personnel stuff that was going on, too, that hamstrung him. But, you know, he had opportunity with guys like Rashawn Evans in the building or even a Malik Jefferson in the building where he could have got bigger at times and matched personnel and chose not to do that. So, I mean, ultimately, that's just kind of where it lands. The Cowboys front office has kind of put themselves into a corner because I was big. Look, if you're bringing Mike McCarthy back, you had to extend him. You know, to me, I was ripped the Band-Aid or extending. You get into this trend of, well, it's a one-year deal, right? And they've done this two times before, to be clear. One time with, was that 2014 or 15? And, you know, Jesse goes 12-4. Then they did it in 19. He goes 8-8, and he walks out the door. But what it does is when you start looking at the pool of candidates maybe that you want to rehire or bring in, it can shrink that down for you some. And that's kind of where the eight ball is. I know a lot of people said they wish this would happen earlier. I think the candidates that they're going to interview and talk about were always the same ones if Dan Quinn would have left 2 weeks ago. At the end of the day is where that kind of lands. So, they want Joe Witt Jr. And Joe Witt, he's going to be – obviously, he's going to get extended the offer for Washington. And then it comes into, you know, there's the quote out there, John Machota put it out that, you know, one of his, you know, goals in life for his career was to be the defense coordinator for the Cowboys. So, it's here right there, one. But it's wrapped differently because the stability side of it isn't quite the same in what Washington is going to offer from a stability side of things. Granted, you do have to move. You've been comfortable here for several years now in Dallas, but from your career side stability, this could be a one-year shot, and then they're wiping the board as compared to going to Washington and having 2-3 years of stability there with his career.
Yeah. No, so here's one I wanted to ask you, and I'll start from the bottom and work up with Mike. So what I found unusual, right, mate, is that last year we all thought Dan Quinn was gone, right? He decides not to move on, doesn't take a head coaching job, stays with Dallas. Then this year we're all going, ooh, here we go. This is going to be the time. So he waits two seasons, but yet the choice of team he decides to go to is the Washington Commanders. I mean, do you find that a bit of a, I don't know how you look at it, but I find that as a bit of a step down. I don't know what you feel. You know, to wait 2 years and then go to the Commanders, to go from the Cowboys to Commanders.
Yeah. I mean, my own opinion of it, I think he might have been encouraged to leave. I just think they had to change something. You cannot come back with the same thing. I mean, these fans are just, I mean, they're at the end of the rope with it. And I just felt that, you know, they're saying, hey, man, you might want to go ahead and take that job and go ahead and get it. And the one question I would ask Knicks, what's up, man, is I heard the 1 year and I people have said that. So if you look at like a Mike Vrabel, would he be scared by that? Because the way I see it is he could say, well, hey, if McCarthy doesn't get it done and my defense is there, I'm probably the heir apparent that they'd end up moving up or no. Do you think they'd clean out and just take some radical move and Bill Belichick is sitting out there and he'd have to do something extreme?
Yeah, I think it's more in that realm just because Rebel's in a position of, look, I can wait a year and get a deal. And a lot of the things about him not getting a job this year is he's wanting a little bit more of the player personnel stuff after what happened with A.J. Brown. Well, guess what? You're not going to get – you'll get a say in the draft, but outside of that, you're not going to get a whole lot of talk when it comes to player personnel. There's things that you'll be able to afford it to. Like we saw when Dan Quinn came in here, that draft, and he got all of his guys. He was able to draft whoever, and he would have say in that. But here's the other side about it. Even let's take it off the board and say Vrabel was open to do that. I mean, it's just it's a bad recipe for the team. Right, because those players don't understand what's on the wall. You know, if Vrabel comes in here, well, he's going to probably get a 3-4 year deal. Oh, well, McCarthy's got a 1 year deal. Things are going a little left. Hey, man, I ain't worried about what McCarthy's talking about no more. And I think it just it's a recipe for disaster when if you bring somebody like that in with McCarthy on a 1 year deal. Now, if McCarthy had signed an extension, say less, go be a salesman, get Vrabel in here, let's cook. But now the way that it's constructed. There's a possibility of a barn fire if you're not you know paying attention here in what they would in who they brought in.
I
agree. I mean, McCarthy's going to have to go through all of this next season with, you know, or you lose this game. Does that, you know, with the Wade Phillips when he was canned, obviously they stopped playing for him and typically it was against Green Bay as well. They stopped playing for him. You lost 41-7 or whatever it was. And, you know, the next thing you've got Jason Garrett going, oh, we'll be ready to play 3:15 on Sunday and all that sort of stuff. You know, and if they bring somebody in from outside, then obviously, yeah, you've got to give him multiple year deal. And if you're bringing in a name like Mike Vrabel, who, again, many people thought were probably going to be in position for one of these head coaching positions, then you know, the rumor mill is always going to be there, especially if things go south. Joe Witt, as you say though, I mean, if Joe Witt decides to go off to the Commanders, then you know he's got the security there. If it's a promotion in the house and again it falls short at the end of the season, and you get rid of McCarthy, chances are whoever's coming in as head coach anyway will be wiping their hands at everybody in the building. Or you really going to have a fantastic interview when you meet with the new head coach. And, you know, again, from the Cowboys' point of view, whether it's Joe Witt or Al Harris, the one benefit about them going off and getting a DC job, if they do get it, is that obviously there is a compensatory pick that you get, and if they stay for 2 years, you get two third round picks. So you know there is that sort of benefit for us. I just obviously it's all up in the air with that.
Well, wasn't that just for head coach though, or am I tripping?
No. Anybody that gets put into a coordinator position, head coach or front office. And if you manage to get two going at the same time, so if any of the other defensive coordinator positions that open up, and you've got talk of Durdy being called up as well, if both of them went, you get the potential of three years worth of third round picks. So you know, it obviously works out for the Cowboys if that happens as well. So
yeah, and we know what Jerry's like with his compensatory picks. He seems to have that formula worked out for sure. And we don't want to see Durdy go because that's our guy. You know, hands off our Londoner, you know. We know him quite well. So
I think he's a dark horse for DC that nobody's talking about for us, to be honest. And I was bringing that up yesterday talking about it because he's got some interviews and whatnot. If they're really keen on stability and they continuity and quote-unquote running back season, then Dirty's definitely a guy that I think is a dark horse I'm getting talked about a lot. Although I'd be remiss, as soon as Ron Rivera's name came up before Dan Quinn was out of the building, and now that we see the interview, there's obviously a lot of intrigue from the Cowboys side of this thing about Ron Rivera. I think ultimately, yes, they want Joe Witt, but I think we'll see. I know Zimmer kind of put his name out there, different things, but there's obviously more to it than, you know, Zimmer's people kind of put his name out there, right? Ron Rivera put his name out there. That kind of happened and kind of came out, and now the Cowboys have been scheduled for a interview next week.
Yeah. Here we go. We got Steve coming in with a question. So I'll throw this. I tell you what, we'll start each one with Mike Tagg. He's going to be my front runner for each question that comes in. Steve's asking, though, this is a solid question about how much do you think the Packers playoff game impacted the reaction to Dan Quinn leaving? It's a very simple question, but yeah. It's not a simple answer.
A simple answer is I had this shirt sent to me because I wanted to buy it. It looks so cool because I couldn't be there. And I got a $40 shirt that I can't wear and I will never wear it. I don't know what I'm doing. But to me, it's like I said, I was out for blood after the game. And someone's got to fall on the sword, whether it was McCarthy, Dak, you know, Quinn. But you can't come back the same. That's why I'm hearing some in-house candidates. And, you know, maybe that's the best for stability. I don't know. But it's like I need something to make me feel good. So I think it had a lot to do with it. I think, you know, to Lord's point, when you saw the Packers again, you know, do what they did to Wade Phillips and that, you know, you saw the team quit, they had to make a change. And I think something, you know, with the Packer game, it exposed it. But I think it was creeping up on them. You saw what happened in Buffalo. You saw what happened, obviously, in Miami. They couldn't hold them. And you've had the Cardinals. You've had these games where – you know, he just hasn't looked good. And then also with the personnel, and that's where I'd kind of lean on Nick's and Lauren to know. But, you know, he was bringing in these little guys to play linebacker, and they did not make adjustments. And they did have the opportunity to bring in bigger linebackers, and they did bring in a couple, and they didn't really use them to that extent or what they needed. So was that Jerry and Will's decision, or was that Quinn's decision? I had James Washington, I mean, two-time Super Bowl champion on our show last night, and I put a clip out there. He's talking about Parsons, and yeah. And you know, he was saying the way that they're using Parsons, I mean, especially in the Green Bay game specifically, he's like, what do you, I mean, the coaches, the defensive coordinators thinking he's outsmarting people, and he just ended up being exposed and putting the teams, you know, players in bad positions. So I think it had a lot to do with it. I think 100% they win against the Packers and they go on the next week. I mean, I think all stays the same.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, what do you think next?
Yeah, I definitely was the proverbial bow on top of what was going
like
on.
Like the final nails.
Yeah, there were things front office wise that were frustrated with. There were down the stretch, there were some players that had some issues with things as far as the scheme that wasn't being called in. And Mike even talks about, hey, look, there was packages for me to play linebacker. I don't call the packages though. I mean, yeah. Well, who's that? He doesn't say Dan Quinn, right? But I mean, obviously that's who it is Dan Quinn. You know, went as far to talk about, you know, that we practiced it. I had linebacker packages, but they never, you know, those things were just not called. So there was a mounting frustration prior to the Green Bay game. It really did start in the Buffalo game. And there was not just from the front office standpoint, but there were certain players like, man, what are we doing? Because again, when you're getting out personneled, right? When you're basically in dime and they're in 12 and 13 personnel, this ain't college football, you know? Like, you can't just outdo, you know, you're Alabama, so go beat Northeast Louisiana and play, you know, in dime all game and you'll be fine. And there was some frustrations within that. And then, you know, it all kind of hit the fan, you know, once the Green Bay game happened. And I was told, at least directly, as soon as before McCarthy's would come back, from someone I trust said that Dan Quinn won't be back. They don't want Dan Quinn back. That's exactly what was in my inbox. We had the conversation. Obviously went left and right. It took a long time. And, you know, and this is kind of circling back to your earlier question.
I don't know necessarily
if Washington is his predominant spot he wants to go to. Now, look, right, number two pick, they got $60-70 million in salary cap. So there's some things there, but they were having problems hiring some people. But he's like, hey, man, okay, they offered to me. I just have to take it because I'm in that situation. So,
yeah.
And I don't think Dan Quinn was Washington's number one pick. I think they would have gone with Detroit's offensive coordinator, Johnson. But obviously he turned around and said, no, I know you're willing to pay me what I demanded, which was something like $16 million a year or something like that, which, because basically he's saying he's in a fantastic situation in Detroit. And, you know, you really would have to pay me through the nose to actually leave and go to this job. I mean, obviously, Dan Quinn was, you know, a couple of years ago, Dan Quinn could have had any job he wanted. Yeah. And I think, you know, he's maybe seen the whole Kellen Moore thing where, again, Kellen Moore was a hot prospect last year. You know, obviously missed out on Carolina being the last pick or the last team to hire last year. Goes off immediately, goes to San Diego, and you think, you know, he'll be set up, he'll get Justin Herbert going, Eckler, all that, and, you know, did nothing, and now he's back in the division as well, coaching for the Dirty Birds up north. losing Dan Quinn to the Commanders, I mean, you know, you wish him all the best, but at the same time, you know, you wish he'd gone to another team. You wish he'd gone to Seattle. You know, especially if you see what he's got $73 million on the cap. He's got all the draft picks last year, you know, obviously picked up for sending Chase Young and Montez Sweat and all that. You know, they've got extra draft capital. It's probably one of the most advantageous positions for him. So,
yeah, I mean, like, one of the things I was thinking about is, do we think perhaps maybe, you know, Dan Quinn's moving on and all the rest of it. Do we think in some sort of way, because people were whispering, like, is Dan Quinn going to stay in Dallas? Like, I had this question in the mailbag and I was like, it's very possible he could actually stay. And do we think, though, that Dan Quinn wanted to move because he's seen the writing on the wall, but some teams were reluctant to have him as a head coach, which is why it took so long? Is there perhaps that happening?
I think, look, he was going to be head coach ahead of me this year anyways, and we kind of talked about this, you know, early on in the season, and then last offseason was, you know, if he wants to head coach again, you keep getting interviews, eventually you got to take a job, because eventually the phone stops ringing, you know, and I always felt it was going to be that way. Now, yesterday's price and today's price and kind of some of the things that unfolded kind of maybe changed that outlook for him, obviously, for that. And but he took the interviews, he went on the carousel. I thought he had a chance in Seattle. I understand why they went with who they were going with, in McDonald. You know, he ends up in Washington. So I think going back to the tail end of the day, I think it was advantageous for him to go forward and move on, how it ended, and, you know, and more stability for him too, right? Let's be clear. You know that, you know, he gets hired after the same McCarthy's coming back on a 1-year deal. Well, okay. Now I get this new job. I get a pay raise. I'll get 4 or 5 years. So he too also gets more stability and another crack at being a head coach. So I think a lot of it lined up for him to it was good for him to move on, maybe more so than it was for the Cowboys. I kind of put it in those terms. And like Mike Tech said, and plenty of people in the spaces when I saw some, people wanted heads to roll. They wanted some kind of change. And you know, now we see if we can complete the unholy trinity in Ron Rivera, so we get Kellen Moore in Philly, Quinn
there
up
you
there,
go.
Up there in Washington, we get Riverboat Ron.
Yeah, it's just a complete turn on. It was something I was thinking about. I was like, imagine that happened, and just like it's just like a wife swap situation going on between.
I'm like, how about this? Give me Wink Martindale instead of Ron. If you're going to give me another NFC East guy, bring me on Wink and not Ron. That's where I would be at. But
yeah.
Well, that was going to be the next thing I was going to come to. I was going to talk about external guys, but before we do, I just wanted to get Tag's opinion on what you thought about the idea that the reason for Dan Quinn taking so long. Do you think there's anything warranted in that, or do you think he was just trying to really find the right sort of place for him to go to?
No, I mean, he interviewed in a lot of places. They passed him up. So, I mean, I just think he ran out of options. And with Washington, I mean, again, it's a head coaching job. There's only, what, 32 of them. I mean, you'd be foolish not to take an opportunity, and especially the way things are in Dallas. I just don't think that they wanted him back. I think they would have took him back, and I'm glad it worked. I think it was a win-win for everyone. I think it's a win for us because I'm just telling you, you know, Kellen Moore in Philadelphia, you know, Kelly talked about this and Quinn in Washington. It's been a great off season so far. I'm starting to get some hope, but you know, get a bunch of time. I'll say this. You had Joe put a question up, and I noticed it, and he was talking about talent And James Washington, who played on those teams, like I said, in the 90s, he floored me when he said this. And I even said, did I hear you right? He said that this Cowboys team is more talented than his teams in the 90s. And I don't know if I believe it, but he said that, especially early on the defensive side, right? But you know, this team is talented. I mean, you know, underachievers. I mean, we got to take and own that. And, you know, everything that Stephen A. Smith and all these haters say about us, it's like you got to deal with it because we continue to prove them right. And I understand the odds are you're not going to win a Super Bowl every year. It's very hard to win a Super Bowl. Count the teams over 30 years. How many teams actually won the Super Bowl? It's probably not as many as people think. It's not 30, I guarantee you that. Yeah. And so they can run with that. It's the way the Cowboys lose, the fashion that they lose, and it just continues to drive that. So it's, you know, like that's why it's tough days, and they've got to get something. And I don't know if Nick's is still up. He's there. You guys, because James said this, and I said this weeks ago. I'm not a X and O guy like you guys are, but 3-4. If Micah Parsons is kind of your guy, and you want to build it. James Washington said the same things. Like, man, they need if Parsons, you need to run a 3-4. I mean, do you agree with that? Is that something that the Cowboys should look into if Parsons is really their guy, or does that more detriment in today's game?
I mean, when you look at the linebacker core, I mean, I'll let you guys answer. I was just going to say, when you look at the linebacker core, a lot of it screams 3-4. You know, when you look at the personnel. But I mean, what do you guys think next, Lorna? You know, what's your opinions on?
The biggest thing with that now in this day and age of football, you're in a 4-2-5 70% of the time now.
Very true. Very true.
Now we come from an era, Mike and fellas, of you started three linebackers. Well,
yeah,
you start three cornerbacks now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's kind of where it's true. Is. But you have to be. Here's the thing about it is. You had to be able, and this is where Quinn ultimately failed, specifically this year. You had to be able to match up when teams go big. And that's whenever they're forcing you out of your big nickel and stuff. You had to say, okay, here comes 12, here comes 13. We had to have packages to identify with that, whether that's a bare front, a four-man front, or if you want to get to a 3-4 front. Because you have the pieces to do a 3-4 front. Because no matter what here, if you stick with the principles of a 4-3, 3-4, even though predominantly you're multiple now than anything, the Cowboys need linebackers. No matter what, whatever you want to call this thing, they need multiple linebackers. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, some of that's partly because when you drafted Micah and he turned into this all-world edge, so he's not playing linebacker. You drafted Overshown. He got hurt. Damone Clark's coming along. And then guess what? You decided to cut two guys. You cut Cox and you cut Harper. Jabril Cox, I kind of understood. The Harper had a phenomenal preseason and training camp. I did not understand the Devin Harper release. But
I'm with you.
There's things they can do. You know, absolutely, when they're into their quote-unquote base formation, that's different than what Dan Quinn was doing, because Dan Quinn, no matter what, just kind of stayed in that big nickel and stuff of that deal and got out personnel in the Buffalo game, in the Green Bay game, going back to the Arizona game. You got out personnel. And, so there's got to be the Cowboys front office, right, we kind of agreed they're more reactive than proactive. So they lost the San Francisco game, right? They needed a wide receiver and a cornerback. What did they go do? They traded for Cooks. They traded for Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
When I hear Ron Rivera, what is Ron Rivera known for? Defense front seven. Linebackers, defensive tackles.
Yeah.
It makes sense because you were out personneled in those ways. So, yeah, that makes sense that they're talking about Ron Rivera because of what this defense, you know, ultimately was the Achilles heel for them at times underneath Dan Quinn.
Yeah, especially when you think Ron Rivera, the run stopping that's involved with it.
Right.
Yeah. Go on. Sorry, Lorne. I didn't mean to interrupt, mate.
No. Again, I'd say, you know, we were almost a 3-4 front at times. I mean, the number of times that, you know, if Sam Williams was on the field, Sam Williams generally was lined up as in that sort of two-point bicycle kick stance. Micah was doing the same on the other side and things like that. And, you know, it wasn't a conventional 4-3. It wasn't a conventional 3-4. The one thing we talked earlier about small linebackers and all that, and bringing these defensive backs up to play linebacker, that's something Dan Quinn was doing back in Atlanta as well. Deion Jones, you know, drafted 2016. He's 222 pounds. I mean, he's, you know, Overshown outweighs him. you know, Marquise Bell's of a similar ilk to him as well.
Keanu Neal, even.
Yeah.
Keanu Neal, good point, yeah.
And, I mean, it's just crazy that, you know, again, the pick of Mazzie Smith last year, Mazzie Smith came in at camp 330 pounds. Now, as soon as we drafted him, you had Aiden Durdee on the draft show saying, you know, we think we can get pass rush moves out of him and all this sort of stuff. By the end of the season, he's lost 30 pounds. He's under 300 pounds. And, you know, you're taking him away from what you actually drafted him to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need somebody to come back in, tell him to go and, you know, buy out the whole of Chick-fil-A or whatever. And just, you know, just pound away at all of that.
Just give some of that Whataburger.
Yeah, get in the water, get in the water. That's the one. Yeah. So, I mean, you've already mentioned one next. I thought I'd go through like a few candidates, and some people have put in the comments as well some of the names I was looking at. You mentioned one, Don Wink Martindale. Obviously, at the Giants, a very, what's the best way to describe it? Messy departure with him over there. I mean, what do you think? Martindale, I think not too dissimilar from Dan Quinn in terms of blitz. Like, let's blitz, let's get pass rush.
He's blitzing. Yeah, he's bringing number one in the league, 48% this year from week. He blitzes. Yeah, he's blitzkrieg for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, zero blitz is the whole thing. So, I mean, do you guys think that that's something that's beneficial, because it doesn't move too past what the Cowboys have been good at the last couple of years? Or do you think that based on the way that he left the Giants, he would be a bad fit for the Dallas Cowboys?
I mean, I don't think he'd be a bad fit. I liked him more when he wasn't with the Giants, right? And his other stuff. But I think the thing is, I don't care who they bring in. If they don't change the culture, if they don't change the mindset and bring in some dogs and bring in some guys that you know, the joking thing that Eugene Lockhart always said, you know, I need someone who's hungry. I don't need someone who's, you know, worried about the glamour and the women and all that. We need some hard-nosed football players on this team and leaders. It's like, you know, again, I hate to rehash because we just had it last time, but, you know, what James Washington said, they held each other accountable. There was accountability. If he missed a tackle, Michael Irvin was in his face, and he'd hear it on the play ride home. To the point that where I posted a video and joked that, you know, hey, we would have come back if Deion didn't have that PI. And he goes, no, catch the ball. Michael Irvin should have caught the ball. I don't want to hear no PI, just like he tells me about that. I mean, that's what I think this team is just missing. And if you don't get that, I don't care who you bring in. We've seen it all, right? We had Bill Parcells here, and you've got to change the culture, and it's going to be a battle because of the man, you know, the man at the top. But to me, that's the biggest thing. But the names I hear, I mean, they're all quality candidates. But I think that's the thing I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you only have to go back as well, 1971 or whatever it was when Cliff Harris and Charlie Waters were coming on board as rookies, and then Bob Lilly turned to them and said, we're going to the Super Bowl, and don't you dare do anything to F that up. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the whole hold the guys accountable. And, you know, going back, this was a talented roster. I said on our WhatsApp chat this week that, you know, we probably had one of the most talented rosters that we've had in a couple of years at least. But you can have all the talent in the world. If you can't focus it, if you can't get everybody buying into that one thing and putting aside your own personal milestones, 14 sacks, 5 pick sixes, whatever. If you're not doing things for the good of the team, then the team's not going to go anywhere. You know, and that, again, I remember I used to listen to coaching tapes and stuff like that. And there was Mike Ditka said that when he sat down with the Bears in 85 as well, that's how he got everybody buy-in. Super Bowl, don't worry about any of your stats. Just go for the Super Bowl. And that's what you need to buy in for. And for some reason, I don't know if it's, again, this whole thing about, you know, the number of Pro Bowlers we had, the number of All-Pros we had or whatever, but everybody's, you know, it, do the players listen to the hype that that creates? And then, you know, doing Micah doing his own podcast and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, for God's sakes, do that during the off season all you want. But, you know, during the season, you should be putting extra game time, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want robots. That at the end of the day, these people, these players are still human beings. They can have interests and have their own podcasts. Maybe, perhaps, though, yeah, you know, put things on the side. Especially, I think with Micah, it's not so much the podcast that I have a problem with. It's more that he has the podcast and then he's exorbitantly active on social media, you know, and the two hand in hand with it, you know. At the end of the day, he's a human being, so you can't really knock him for it, but it is frustrating when you see a game like he had in the playoffs and then he's doing all the talk and doing all the podcasts and all the rest of it. It can be frustrating, but here's another name. One of our people on here has mentioned is, and I'm not a fan of this idea, is Sean Desai, who was at the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's an Eagle fan doing that. That's an Eagle fan doing that. He said that to me, too. I'm not falling for that.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Yeah. I mean, it is a name people have tossed around, mind, you know, in seriousness. You know, he's demoted. Matt Patricia comes in. Very, very different schematically to what we've had. When you think, when I'm thinking of Sean's defense, it's more the other way around. It's more about the defensive backs, the coverage schemes. But are we all in agreement? We don't want any part of that.
Yeah, I think that suggestion was more when we were talking about how everybody's done the sort of wife swap thing, and you know, you've got Kellen Moore back up in Philadelphia, and Dan's now going to Washington. So Yeah.
Hey, that's the hire y'all ain't gonna see me for a while. I'm telling you right now, that's the hire y'all ain't gonna see me in these social media streets for a while. Oh God, no.
I'll have to be calling you. I'll be calling you next. I'll be like, "Are you okay, mate? You all right?
You ain't gonna find me yet. Hey, yeah, you got the line, bang the line, because I ain't gonna be around. Not me. In my Magic Johnson, I ain't gonna be here.
They better do something before March 1st, because that's when they're asking for my money for my ticket next.
I mean, that would be an interesting one. You mentioned Ron Rivera. I get, obviously we know where you stand on that, Nick, but Mike and Lorne, do you feel that's a guy worth, you know, because he's a name that has been thrown around a lot?
I mean, to me, it's a safe pick, right? I mean, is it going to be much different? It's not going to make me do back. I'm not going to break through the door doing a hype video over that hire at all.
I mean, outside of what he called here down the stretch of that barn, that dumpster fire over there in Washington, he hasn't been a defensive coordinator since 2010. When he was with the Chargers, you know, it's just been a long time. You know, I have other people ahead of him on my list for sure, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I'll ask you about that now, Nick. But one of the things I think of is I just think that even just with Dan Quinn, right? You think sometimes, I know with Ron, he's gone down the head coaching role, but I've said this many times on many shows, is that certain individuals, they do very, very well as a defensive or an offensive coordinator. They go to a head coaching role, and it doesn't quite click. But when they revert back to their coordinator role, it all comes flowing back. And that you see Dan Quinn, good example. I know it's a swear word to say, Jason Garrett, but think of the Jason Garrett offense as an offensive coordinator. Wasn't that bad as a head coach, falls apart. I know when he goes to the Giants, it's slightly different. Yeah. But I just think there's a lot of that you see that pattern that sometimes certain individuals are just built better to be a coordinator than they are a head coach. I don't know what your guys' opinion on that is, but that's just something I've seen a pattern emerge quite a lot.
No, yeah, I mean, you see that specifically with take the Kansas City Chiefs, for instance, right? And Spagnuolo over there, Spags, right? He was a great defense coordinator for the Giants. He goes, becomes the Rams head coach. That was not good. And now you see what he's doing for the Chiefs. And, you know, I know Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they're in the Super Bowl because of that defense, though. Make no mistakes about it. and what they were able to do throughout the season. So, yeah, I mean, definitely there's a rhyme and reason to what you're saying there for sure about guys. Good coordinators, head coach doesn't always pan out, comes back, and they find their niche again as a coordinator for sure.
Yeah. All right, then.
Definitely agree.
Okay, here's a name for you. I wonder if this is on your list next. Brandon Staley?
On the list. Definitely, on the list.
On the list, you know, he's one of those disciples of the Vic Mangio defense, mm-hmm. kind of like Sean Desai. I think Sean Desai is Desai's a Mangio disciple as well, I believe.
He's a really, really understudy, okay? He's an intern. We got to wait on that.
Yeah. So he would be somebody you guys would be happy if they hired then? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I mean, guys, y'all talking 3-4, right? Huh? Talking 3-4? Yeah. That's what Staley does. You look at what he did with the Rams before getting the head coaching job, and you kind of see what that was for him. And another reason why he's up on my list, too, what I like about him is you look how he used Aaron Donald, not just defensive tackle. He moved him to the edge. He moved him all around. Boy, doesn't that sound like Michael Parsons and maybe trying to get a guy that will come in here and move him around? So those are a couple of things of why, yeah, definitely is a guy. Younger guy as well. The Cowboys like to hire former head coaches to come in to be coordinators. He just checks all the boxes for me in that round.
Yeah. Go on, Mike.
No, I would say this. I mean, again, it's not going to – I'm not going to do backflips, but I think he'd be another solid hire. You know, at this point on for us is I just need to see somebody solid. I don't want no understudies like that. Yeah. I know Al Harris is another name and nothing against Al Harris. Yeah. Maybe he could be a good one. Maybe not. I don't have time for let's wait and find out. Right.
Yeah.
I'm past it. I need somebody that can come in here and that at least can stabilize and do something with his defense to get us over the hump. Finally, you know what I'm saying?
Lord?
Yeah, I think Al Harris has supposedly come out and said that he's more interested in teaching technique than actually teaching or handling strategy and game plans. So I don't necessarily think Al Harris is really in the running for this. He might take himself out if that's the case. But I mean, these guys that we're talking about here, they've all managed to get head coaching positions because of the job they've done as a defensive coordinator. Now, Ron Rivera has managed to do it. You know, at one point, the Redskins defense, done it again, Commander's defense, again, while he was battling leukemia as well, he managed to take the Commanders to the playoffs as well with nothing on the offense. It was all built around that defense. You know, so again, they have that pedigree. And yes, just like Wade Phillips as well, Wade Phillips has been to so many Super Bowls because he's a very good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He's an okay interim head coach, but when you give him the job full time, that's when he's reached the ceiling and, you know, just can't break through. All of these guys, and probably the next guy we're probably going to be talking about as well, they've all got that sort of pedigree as defensive coordinators, and they've done it on numerous teams as well. So, you know, I certainly don't see why. They're maybe not the sexy pick here. You know, if it was an offensive coordinator you're looking for, normally it's you're going for somebody who is the new, you know, much like Jerry tagged Jason Garrett as being the new boy wonder and all that sort of stuff. That's the sort of thing you're normally going for. Defensive guys, though, you probably want a more steady hand.
Yeah. Let me just say, because this always gets a joke, Mike Nolan, and I get it. But put it in perspective a little bit. Big mistake by him. It was a COVID happened during that time. There was no trade. There was nothing going on. Everything was virtual. And he tried to change and complicate this whole defense with, you know, his first year in. It was a disaster. I'm not going to, you know, so, you know, I pumped the brakes. I'm going to take a proven guy. I'm going to take my chances with it. How's that? I'm going to be much more comfortable with that than a guy that's never been a coordinator and hope that he does well. So that's all I wanted to say on that, because I know the Nolan thing. It was a disaster. I hated it. I don't know, was the year Dak got hurt? I can't remember, but it was that COVID year.
Yeah, so it was a tough gig to go in and do that, especially when you think there's so many changes happening all at once. Yeah. Tough, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you're just as good as your record says, really. Nobody cares about the intangibles that were involved in it all. But yeah, I mean, we'll move on to
McCarthy's credit. He got rid of them, right?
Yeah.
He got rid of them in a year. So it's not like they let them hang around and continue it, so...
Oh, I think if he didn't, I think Mike McCarthy would be not far behind, you know, on that one. But let's go for
the chat thing too. I apologize. Mike McCarthy, you know, would Mike McCarthy have won a Super Bowl without Aaron Rodgers? I will ask this: would Aaron Rodgers have won a Super Bowl without Mike McCarthy? How many does he have? He has one. You got. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so sick. It's zero. Zero without him. Thank you. I don't know. I just some things.
You're
absolutely right.
It's low hanging fruit.
Yeah. I mean, talk of low hanging fruit. Let's go with the next guy then. It's on the news quite a lot, and I've actually spoken to a few guys, in Frisco, in the headquarters, about this one, Mike Zimmer, and I asked the question, and the only reply I got back was, "There's no smoke without fire." So how do we guys feel about Mike Zimmer coming back to Dallas and taking on a defensive coordinator position for us?
It's a no for me, dog. I'm just being honest with you. It didn't end well in Minnesota. There was a lot of things that happened in how he kind of conducted himself. And there were some things whenever he left here and how he conducted himself also that wasn't exactly pristine. I know there's a lot of people kind of banging the table about him. For me, it's a no. I'd be more happy if he gets hired and prove me wrong. I'll be more happy to show right back up here, like, hey, I was wrong on Mike Zimmer. My bad, y'all. I got it. But I'm out on Zimmer. I don't have Zimmer on my list at all, personally. That's just where I land with him.
Yeah. I thought he was done. I didn't even.
I'm with you. Yeah.
So I think that would be, if you want to go back, because it was like a Mike Nolan, right? He's been gone a little bit, come back. I think that would be. That wouldn't be a good one. Hey, yeah, bring Marinelli back. You know what I mean?
Right. What's Monty Kiffin doing? What are we about to keep him back? I mean.
Yeah. Get some more in there. But no, that'd be a big no for me. It'd be a big no for me.
Lone?
Yeah, I mean, there was the whole thing. Obviously, he learned. You know, he learned the 3-4 under Parcells. He was a 4-3 guy initially and all that sort of stuff. But as you say, I mean, towards the end in Minnesota there, you just looked at him and he looked a shell of himself. Now, I don't know what he's done in the 1-2 years that he's been out of football. You know, supposedly McCarthy went away and did all this work on himself. Dan Quinn did the same, supposedly. You know, maybe if he's... And I know there was all of the health conditions with Zimmer as well that caused him to take time out as well. And I think family issues as well. So if he's got all of that in check and he has got this renewed passion, then, you know, that's a possibility. But he's probably the lowest of the big names that we've got, I think, on my sort of ranking, I think.
Yeah, he's not so many. As soon as you said it, Mike, I was like, you know, when I heard it, I was like, Zimmer, really? I thought he was complete. I thought he'd be out of coaching, you know, perhaps going back down to college. He is in college, actually, isn't he?
Who? Zimmer?
Mike Zimmer.
No, I don't think he's anything.
No, I must have read something or heard something. Yeah,
he might have maybe did a little something about it, but to my knowledge, he hasn't done anything. He's almost 70, right? He's like 68.
Could be. I'll have to check, but you're probably right. He's been around a long time. Right. Yeah. But here's an interesting name I thought about, only because of the remarrying Mike McCarthy, because we've seen that obviously with Mike Nolan. We spoke about that he's been with him before. But what about Mike Pettine? They were together in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur came in, even retained him, kept him at Green Bay, and he really helped evolve the defense on Green Bay that was stagnating and going through a bit of a youth change there and brought it on a bit. I mean, would you guys, if you feel comfortable talking about that, about the idea of having him in, what's your guys' thoughts on that, if you've got one?
He's a guy. He's done good things in this league. Absolutely. It doesn't move the needle, right? I don't think for me, when it comes to that standpoint, the connecting the dots makes sense, of course.
That's what I was trying to do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you connected the dots there, from that realm, but yeah, it doesn't move the needle as much as some other guys we've talked about. And not to say he wouldn't come in here and do, a bad job or anything, just kind of like, oh, okay, well, we have Mike and not Tag. Yeah.
Know what I mean?
All we need to do is just be like Zimmer and Mike and get out here and say, hey, our people have said he's interested in being the DC and maybe we'll get an interview.
I know. Yeah, I don't have much opinion. I mean, it would be familiarity, obviously, with McCarthy and stuff, but I don't, it's not like we were getting D'Amico Ryans as our defensive coordinator or someone like that,
I mean, what's Dom Capers doing? We just call him up.
Oh.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, that defense that McCarthy had, majority of that was made up from Dom Capers. And then, it was sort of passed on, and then that sort of failed, and LaFleur came in and obviously eventually moved everybody on. So it's not really a name for me.
Yeah. All right, then. So we'll finish off with this question, and then we'll start wrapping all this up. So then, guys, who do you think? Who's your guess on who the hire will be, right? I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say I'm not going to give a name, because I'm not sure, but I'm wondering if they make a complete change of philosophy here and look at the college ranks and bring somebody up there. That's my guess.
It'd be definitely against the grain of what they like to do.
Definitely.
It wouldn't be to me, and even hearing Jerry of, it's about now, not for the future to a certain extent. I think when you start dipping into the college, that's a little bit more about the future. In that realm. I think it's – look, another name just to throw out there for people that haven't looked. Leslie Frazier's a guy I take a look at as well, too. He's done really good things in this league. We haven't heard his name. Got brought up in a whole lot of circles yet. Just kind of another guy there for sure. But, to me right now, they absolutely want Wink – excuse me, Wink. They want Joe Witt. I don't know if that's going to happen. And the leader in the clubhouse is Ron Rivera right now. Things change? Absolutely. But there's two, as they told you about smoke and fire and all that, name got brought up. Joe Witt's not out of the building yet. He's got an interview. That tells me they kind of have a beat on their guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I would agree. I would agree with both. I think if it's not Witt, I think Rivera seems to be the one that's talked about the most. So, usually that means something. And I think they're going to go with a safe pick, just my opinion.
I think when the reports came out last week, before even Dan Quinn had even gone for his second interview with Washington, still finishing up with Seattle. I think you're going somewhere there, unless you're talking, do you wait until after the Super Bowl and maybe try and pick somebody from one of those teams as well? I mean, that was the whole reason why Washington and Seattle were the last two teams to hire, because they had guys that they'd got on the radar. Maybe that's the same thing. But again, it all depends on what you take Jerry's understanding of the word all in, he's been quoted as saying this week. Again, if you're bringing somebody up from the college, they need to have some sort of experience of the NFL itself, because it is a different style. No matter what you run in college, bringing it up and trying to get through to guys who have got money and everything like that, trying to get through and get them all focused on the same thing takes a little bit of getting used to. And if you're going for a 1-year all-in, then it's going to be difficult.
Yes. So there we have it. Obviously, tomorrow is the Senior Bowl.
Real quick, let me tell you what he is. What we talked about the all in there, Lauren. Let me tell you exactly what he's all in on. Stealing headlines during Super Bowl week. There will be a hired defensive coordinator for sure during the Super Bowl week. So, yeah, buddy. That's the identity. Hey, that's the identity, baby, of the Cowboys brand.
It's true. Jerry does know how to keep the Cowboys relevant, even in the darkest of times. That is very true. Senior Bowl, I mean, I don't know. I've got a few names. Articles have come out talking about this. Any names you guys are going to be watching tomorrow? Or certainly, if not names, positions?
Linebacker, right? I mean, we got to be looking at linebacker, baby. No ifs or buts about it. But I'm already on record. I was on record before the Senior Bowl practice got started. My pick at 24 is Powers Johnson, center from Oregon. This offensive line, guys, has not been the same since Frederick left, and I'm banging the table. And the people was kind of like, Nix, I don't know. Senior Bowl came like, Nix, my bad. We see the vision. I'm like, yeah. So Powers Johnson's my number 24. We'll figure the rest out. The sneaky Cowboys, you got medical issues. We love you, linebacker.
Yeah, I know.
Willis, right? As my guy Dom says, first round brain, fourth round body. 10+ surgeries, he's basically a 6'4 Sean Lee. Mark it down. If he's on the board at 56, the Cowboys going to do it.
Second round pick sounds like to me.
Yes, sir. Hey, he's the Will to Play special, baby.
I will say he's been impressive in practices in the coverage drills. In the coverage drills, that guy is fast. I mean, he gets out the blocks quick. Like you say, he's first round mind for definite. You can see it clicks in there. But yeah, linebacker has to be. I'm with you on Powers. There's some position flex there as well. If you want to perhaps draft him and you decide to keep certain players around, that works. But are you with that then, Tag?
Linebacker to me is a priority. I'm not as into the college scouting. I always defer to Nix and Jay Tuck and the guys that do
a great linebacker. Linebacker, y'all have a linebacker down there from the U that I like, the brother.
Which one?
Number 51, transferred from Michigan State. The off.
Oh yeah. I like Kitchens though. Kitchens is
Kitchens is good too. Yeah, Kitchens safety.
And they've got the defensive pack. I mean, the Miami's got a few guys, but I'm not as in tune with the college players as these guys are. But position linebacker, middle strong center. I mean, Nix hit that. I mean, Frederick. You know, we didn't know how much we'd miss him until he was gone. Yeah. And boy, we forget how, I mean, that Kelsey type, you see what, and I think Philadelphia might have an awakening, next season with how important Kelsey was with them. So I definitely think we got to be middle strong, linebacker, defensive tackle. I know we drafted Mozzie, but I wouldn't shy away from getting stronger there. I think the Cowboys need it, but I think more importantly, we can't put the pressure on these draft picks to be impact players. And I think that's what Dallas has done.
Yes,
right. Get rid of Cooper and
bang on there, man.
Well, you're putting a lot of pressure on these guys. So when I saw all in, coaching isn't all in for me. All in for me is you're going to get some leaders and some dogs on this team. Opportunity we had before, right, with Wagner. They didn't do it. Opportunity with some veteran guys that have championship experience, that have that dog mentality like you see with those 49er linebackers. That's all in to me. So that's what I really want to see. But, I mean, obviously, draft, we want to have a better draft than we had last season.
I think last season, a lot of developmental stuff, it wasn't too much blue collar and plug and play type guys. It was more guys for the future. And maybe that's what Jerry is talking about all in, is maybe not go too developmental. Just let the board fall to you. But Lorne, got any thoughts, opinions, players, positions?
I'm going in the trenches as well. Hate to sound like a broken record here, but going in the trenches, both sides of the trenches, because you've got guys that are leaving or are free agents for the Cowboys. Yep. And you've got question marks for guys like Sam Williams as well. Does he step up with Dorrance Armstrong leaving and Fowler leaving? Will he be able to eliminate these stupid plays that he makes? Again, as I said last week, is it a case of him trying to make the most of every little play that he gets, and that's why he's making these terrible mistakes. But you're going to have to draft on both sides of the ball there. And linebacker, obviously, we need to bring guys in as well. So might as well look at some of these big, beefy guys coming out of college as well. So
Yeah. For definite. But guys, thank you very much for joining us. I know it's a Friday afternoon for you guys. Statistically, Friday is the most likely day that there's a bank robbery. So I don't want you hanging around for too long.
Speaking of which, I was late because I was in line at the bank getting some money for my store.
I heard that somewhere before.
Yeah,
I read it like
in Chiefs fan that was out here robbing banks. I wouldn't mean.
makes your balaclava showing in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, what we don't really know is you're in the middle of a car chase, but but thank you very much for joining us, guys, and giving us your time. I know, obviously, appreciate, you know, whenever you're doing live shows next and I get to come on and talk with you, that's always an honor and a pleasure, man. But we leave you guys get to it. We're going to go off and pay the bills. You don't need to hang around for that.
Mike, as always, Tag, good to see you again, brother.
Yep. Talk to you soon, man. Take care.
Take
it. All right. Nice one. Cheers. Yep. Cheers, Tiger. And they are out of here. Yep. So we will pay these bills and do the same thing. So hit me with it, Lorne, and let's get out of here.
Okay. You're probably starting to think about 2024. Obviously, as Mike Tag said, you know, it's time for them to start looking at paying their bills for the season tickets. If you are going across to a game next year, make sure you go with Cowboys Experience for game tickets, stadium tours, ultimate meet and greets with meet guys like Drew Pearson, Jay Novacek, Tyler Smith, Juanwe Thomas, all those guys. Barry looks after you, he works with you, works with your flights coming in. There's transportation including and everything like that. And he literally rolled out the red carpet for us. If you're going, make sure you use the code UK Cowboys and you'll get some free stuff as well.
Free stuff, yes. So, okay. Yeah, never mind. But yes, we will be back on Tuesday. Where we will be reviewing offensive tackle. We were supposed to do that this week, but we got into a deep conversation about Green Bay Packers game, but there we go. But yes, we will be back Tuesday. We're going to watch the Senior Bowl. There's obviously the Pro Bowl coming up as well. Then it's on to the Super Bowl, if anyone's staying up to watch that. But we will be back, as I say, on Tuesday. Stay safe, everyone. Have a great weekend. I started with the first word, so Lauren's going to end the show with the last word. Have a good one, folks.
Okay, have a good week, guys. Dallas forever, Philly for never.